No, Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount, he came not to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it to the last full stop. And I know, let me just say it one more time. I always say this. You know why? It's important. Because if we buy into that theory, we are preparing ourselves for the great falling away. People say this. New Testament church is exempted from obeying the law. That's not what the scripture teaches. You know what is the glory of the New Testament church? The glory of the New Testament church is this. You are empowered by God with grace to live out every requirement in the Holy Scripture. Wow. Do you know you can? If you learn to live by the Spirit. What's the old covenant? Covenant of law. What's new covenant? Covenant of grace. What do you mean by covenant of grace? When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Covenant of, you know, people always define covenant of grace means you're exempted from the law. No. Go and study what grace means. Grace is more than just forgiveness of sin. Grace is empowerment. Why covenant of grace? Because of the grace of God, He has poured out the Holy Spirit. Now every one of us has what inside us? The Holy Spirit. If you throw in Romans 8, if you walk in accordance with the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the last. You can live out every requirement of the law. It's an issue about learning to tap onto this grace that God has given to us. So the glory of the new covenant is not we are exempted from the law. The glory of the new covenant is that we are empowered to live out every requirement of the Bible to the last full stop. What did God say? Now the word of God is written in your heart. What do you mean? Suddenly you download every data into your heart? No, the Spirit of God is living now in you. You read the scripture, say, God help me, empower me, I can. It's an issue of learning to walk it out. That is our glory. Amen? Don't let anybody shortchange your inheritance and your destiny. People say, oh, freedom, freedom. They quote this verse. I know I got sidetracked, but we need to know this. Do you know what is freedom in the New Covenant? No, in the New Testament, what does freedom mean? Freedom in the New Covenant is you can choose to do whatever thing you want. You can sin all you want. That's not freedom. You know what's freedom? Freedom in the New Covenant means this. You have the power to resist sin. See, a lot of us are in bondage. We are not free. It's because I don't want to sin, but I sin. That's why Paul wrote Romans 7. What I want to do, I do not do. What I do not want to do, I want to do. He's so confused. He's wretched. That's why it's not freedom. That's why after that he wrote Romans 8. Thanks be to God. Because He's given us grace, empowerment, walking by the Spirit. So don't let anybody shortchange you. No, I'm not saying that you fell into sin, then you're condemned and so on. No, all you need to do is to repent sincerely. But what I'm saying is that we can live out to the fullness of glory God has destined for us. In this. That's what Romans chapter 8 is about. We are no longer living in darkness. Because Jesus has come, give us light. You know why Paul said we are more than conqueror? Because He's given us the Holy Spirit. I read that, I always sigh. You know why? The scripture said we are more than conqueror. I'm not even near half a conqueror yet. The scripture said, more than conqueror. I said, God, I'm shortchanging myself. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. That's what it is about. Okay, come back to Romans 9. No, I got to say this because I felt that we got it wrong. Not accordance to the scripture. Okay, the law. Fifth one, the service of God. That means ministry of priesthood. Ministry of priesthood. Sixth one. The promise of God. The promise of God. That means all the promise of God that God has for Israel, including Millennium Kingdom. That's Isaiah 60 to Isaiah 66. Okay. Isaiah 60 to Isaiah 66. Seven. The patriarchs. That means that's through Israel, that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay. Last one. The Messiah. It's through Israel that Jesus came the first time. It's through Israel that Jesus came the second time. Got it? Okay, now we're going to go to Romans 9, verse 6 to 9. Again, I'm going to go quickly. Please open up your Bible because I'm going to let you see from the Bible what does Paul actually talk about. Remember this. It's the issue of national election, not the issue of individual salvation. Okay, Romans 9, verse 6 to 9 is the issue right now. Paul is addressing the questions about, oh God, now your word is not valid, not trustworthy, because Israel has fell away. But Romans 8, you say that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are more than conquerors, and so on. That's where Paul is explaining. Okay, that's why he said in verse 6, it is not the word of God has taken no effect. He's trying to prove from the word. No, he's trying to prove that the word or the promise of God is not valid. There is a reason. The reason is the presumption of Israel's concerning their election. Verse 6 to 9, basically, Paul is trying to say, election is not based on natural descent. Election is based on spiritual descent. It still has to be through Christ. Right now, they are temporarily being rejected because we rejected the Messiah. So that's what Paul is trying to say. No, he said, certainly not. It's not that the word of God is not valid. It's because they rejected the Messiah. Even the national national election is based on spiritual descent, not physical descent. That's where even a lot of church who are pro-Israel got it wrong. Okay, let's read verse 6. You've got to get this right because this is vital. Okay, this formed the fundamental, basic foundation of what Israel is about, even her salvation. Verse 6, it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are, this is how Paul said this, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. That's where he's going to give two examples. One is Abraham. The seed is through Isaac and not Ishmael, because Isaac is the sons of the promise. Ishmael is the sons of the flesh. He's basically saying it's not. You see, the problem with Israel is because they thought that it's by natural descent. No, it's by spiritual descent. You still have to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. And because of that, they were rejected. Not because the word of God is not valid or God is not faithful to his word. Okay, verse 6. It's not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Not based on natural or physical descent, but based on spiritual descent. Verse 7, that's where he gives an example, where he quotes Galatians chapter 3. Go and read. Okay, it's all connected. Nor are they all children because they are the seeds of Abraham, but in Isaac. That's where he gives two illustrations, Ishmael and Isaac. It's true. Isaac is the sons of what? Promise. Ishmael is sons of flesh. He's comparing. It's not physical descent. It's spiritual descent, okay? It's true, but in Isaac, your seed shall be called, okay? Verse 8. That is those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. He's emphasizing the point. Not physical descent, but spiritual descent. These are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted as the seed. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Okay, now he's going to the next issue, okay, because then our issue props up. Say, then it's by merit. No, it's based on merit. It's not based on merit. It's not, the national election is not based on merit, but based on grace. That's why he brought up the next issue, Esau and Jacob. So the first issue Paul is addressing is that it's not because of physical descent. It's because of spiritual descent. And second, the issue of national election is not based on merit. It's based on grace. That's why he brings up Esau and Jacob. That's why he said, both of them, before they're born, they never do anything good or evil. But Jacob was chosen. Esau was rejected. Okay, the issue, you know, you use the word hate. If you study carefully, it's not really like God hate Esau. It's rejected. He didn't choose Esau. It's based on grace, not based on merit. So, is Israel special because, no, is God, does God chose Israel because he's special? No, God chose Israel. No, Israel is special because God chose Israel. Okay, so don't romanticize Israel. Love Israel. Okay, verse 10. Verse 10. Got it? Clear or clear like mud? Okay, let's go back and read and ask the Lord to grant you understanding. Verse 10. And not only this, now he's talking about it's based on merit and not based on... No, get it right. Based on grace, not based on merit. Okay, good. You are listening. Okay. Verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. That's where now I talk, it's not based on merit, it's based on grace. For the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election is grace, not merit. My stand, not of works, but of him who call is based on grace, not of merit. Because God has decided it's Jacob. But before they're born, he has decided it's an issue of election, not issue of he has done anything right or wrong. So I know some people say partly Esau contributed. There's always predestination and personal responsibility. That's where later Paul is going to build on it. Okay, got it? Verse 12. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger because of grace. Okay. Verse 13. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. I don't know why they use the word hated. The better translation is actually rejected. Esau rejected for the election or the call. He chose Jacob instead of Esau. Okay. Let's go to verse 13. I'm going to read all the way to verse 23 because this is the slightly more complex and the difficult one. Now Paul is trying to address the issue of mystery of election because a few issues pops up. Because God said, the Romans are now, the Roman believer now is questioning the righteousness. I say, God, your dealing is not righteous. You show mercy to this, then you show you're unkind to Pharaoh. It's not righteous. Understand this. Listen, hear me out first so that I can work through some of this. Election is an issue of mercy. God reject another nation. You see, it's an issue of nation. It's not the issue of God's dealing is unrighteous. Get me again. Hear me out again. God choose Israel is an issue of mercy. I'll explain to you. God reject Pharaoh or make Pharaoh as a vessel of wrath is an issue of, not the issue of unrighteous dealing. You know why? Simple. Both Israel and both Egypt don't deserve it because both are as sinful. God chose Israel is simply mercy. Because if you read carefully, Paul actually quoted from Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. You know, Paul said this, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness? Because they basically say, God, your dealing is not righteous. You're not right. You're not fair. The way Pharaoh, no choice, right? Have you ever heard this? Unfair to Judas, isn't it? He got to betray Christ. Have you heard this before? The 12 disciples had to betray Christ, destined to be condemned. No, do you know that Judas has a choice? That's basically what I say. Unfair. Egypt got no choice. Pharaoh no choice. You harden his heart. I explained to you along the way. But that's basically what is happening. But then Paul quote verse 15. No. Paul go on to verse 15 where he's quoting Exodus chapter 33 verse 19. You need to understand that because God are not God. Paul is trying to say, no, the election of Israel is because of God's mercy. As much as Egypt don't deserve it, Israel don't deserve it. It's just a mystery of election. It's the mercy of God. You know why? I need to highlight this. Let me read verse 15. So you won't bow down to Israel that much. You know that I have friends who are missionary in Israel. You know what they tell me? Say, Ki Chong, I need to tell you this. The Bible is true. I say, what? I thought you're going to give me some great revelation. He said, the Bible is true. I say, okay, tell me. He said, the Jewish people are really stiff-necked. Isn't what the Bible say? It's mercy. They are not any better than us. So don't bow down and worship. Okay. It's all mercy. Paul said this in verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever. This is like very cocky. It's called God. Oh, God. Let me. What are you saying? Okay, that's where Paul, a bit strong, said, who are you to question God? He's God, you're man. Just bow down and worship. You know, Ecclesiastes, you're God in heaven, I'm man on earth. Don't talk too much. Okay, never mind. That's not why. Okay, let me go fast. Okay, got time. Good. Verse 15. For he said to Moses, I have mercy on whomever I have mercy. I have compassion on whomever I have compassion. Remember I say this? Moses quote this from Exodus 33, verse 19. What just happened? Do you remember what just happened? What happened in Exodus 32? The entire nation of Israel just worshiped the golden calf. And God said, yeah, I show mercy to Israel. It's an issue of election. If I didn't remember wrongly, God just wiped out 3,000. He could wipe out all. But he told Moses, I will choose this group of stiff-necked people. See, if I'm Moses, wow, unbelievable. And God said, that is what? Mercy. Mercy. So basically, Paul is saying, no, you don't understand it. Israel don't deserve it. The same as Egypt do not deserve it. It's mercy. It's an issue of mercy. That's why Paul ends, remember Romans 11, about mercy of God? That's what we need to understand. It's all about mercy. No one deserves it. So don't, you know, some people say, I have high calling. I'm an apostle. And Paul will say, don't be arrogant. Don't be haughty. It's mercy. If not, God will cut you off. It's mercy. Israel missed it precisely because she did not understood it's the mercy. Okay, that's where Romans 10. That's why they got misguided zeal. They got wrong understanding of righteousness. They thought, yeah, I'm special. I'm righteous because God chose me. They didn't realize that they are as bad as any nations simply because God chose her. So that's why, let's go to verse 16. Verse 16. I'm going to come to Pharaoh because I know many people say, oh, Pharaoh has no chance, man. God hardened his heart. Have you heard that before? Oh, you never. I have because I asked a question. I told God, oh, God, Pharaoh has no chance, man. You harden his heart. So what's there to say? No, thank. I can't. After I say thank God, it's not me. Okay, no, there's a reason. Remember, I say there's this issue of the mystery of election. There's an issue of personal responsibility. That's where you need to understand the whole context. Okay, verse 16. So then, if it's not of him who will, that means you know what Paul is saying. It's not determined by his will. It's not him who will. Or him who runs, it's not by our effort or whatever. You can't earn it. Don't earn it. You cannot. But God who shows, what? Mercy. Verse 17. For the scripture, now about Pharaoh. I'm going to explain much later, okay? For the scripture says to the Pharaoh. No, I always tell people there's a place to ask questions. I like to ask God questions. God, how can this be unfair? Yeah, no, but after that, make sure you apologize, lah. Okay, yeah. So it's okay. Moses asked God, right? Yeah, God, okay, you asked me to lead this team, then kill them. Then when God said, okay, I'm going to kill them. They said, no, don't. It's bad for your reputation. Yeah, so that's how you relate God. Okay, verse 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show. You see, that's where God raised up nations for the purpose of showing his power. Nations will see who God is. But there is a personal responsibility. I'm going to tell you later as I read through this. That I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Basically, he's quoting from Exodus 9, verse 16. Let's go to verse 18. Again, he emphasized on mercy. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills. And whom he wills, he will harden. He's talking about God actually is the one who hardened Pharaoh's heart. Remember this. I'm going to come back to this. Because I will read through one chunk so they understand the whole point that Paul is trying to make for this next few verses. Verse 20. Verse 19. That's when this next question comes out. Say, then why blame us? Why condemn us to hell? You are the one who determined Pharaoh hardened the heart. What? So why blame Pharaoh? That's where Paul came very strong. Okay, that's what we need to understand. Verse 19. You will say to me, because this is another question that pops up. You will say to me. No, I think we need to understand this because there will come a time we have to be the voice to explain why God acts a certain way. For example, Jesus said, in the last days, God will allow earthquake to increase, right? For the sign of birth pangs. Do you know you can't even pray away? It's a major sign. We have to understand so that like what Paul said, no, it's not that God has run out of patience. He has lost his cool. That's what we need to understand. Okay, that's what is a good lesson to learn. Okay, verse 19. You will say to them, why does he still find fault? Why blame us? It's not our fault, what? And then I can imagine they're all murmuring behind. Poor Pharaoh. Poor Pharaoh. You know? Poor Pharaoh. Okay. You will say to them, why does he still find fault? Who has resisted his will? Everything is he decided what? So who is there? That's why right now Paul is gonna explain sovereignty versus personal responsibility. Okay. I'm gonna throw, let me just refinish, then I'll give you a context about Pharaoh. Verse 20. That's now Paul talks about understanding the mystery election first. Basically, he's saying this. Oh, we don't understand. Who are you to question God? This whole mystery election is a complex issue we don't fully grasp. Just accept, inverted comma, he is God in heaven. Then he's going to address the personal responsibility part. Okay, verse 20, Paul said this. But indeed, oh man, who are you to reply against God? Were the things formed said to him who formed it? Why have you made you like that? That's where he talk about this illustration of potter and clay. Okay, verse 21. Does not the potter has power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Remember these two terms. Vessel of honor, vessel of dishonor. But here right now, Paul is addressing this mystery of election. Only God understands. It's such complex issue. Don't question him. Who are you? Who are you? Just like 2-year-old, explain to the parents why you must go to McDonald's. I think that's a far, it's so far out. But basically, Paul said, you don't understand. It's a complex issue. But there's something Paul is going further. But remember this. Vessel for honor, vessel for dishonor. Okay, these are some terms you need to understand. This verse 22. Verse 22. What if God wanting to show his wrath, remember this, God wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much suffering the vessel of wrath. Remember this term again. The vessel of wrath. Okay, the vessel of wrath prepare for destruction. Verse 23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, with the fourth one, vessel of mercy. So now four terms, isn't it? Vessel of honor, vessel of dishonor, vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. Okay, riches on the vessel of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Everything at the end of the day is to point to where? The glory of God. Okay, now let me explain. What is vessel of honor? What is vessel of dishonor? That's where you need to understand the Middle Eastern context in Jewish time, okay? Because they have all kinds of vessel. In the Jewish time, vessel of honor is like those used, I'm going to say it properly, like plate used for you to eat and so on. Vessel of dishonor is, you know, used to be you to wash feet and so on. See, this is a mystery election. God decide. You don't determine. Okay, so it happened that God chose Israel to be, it's a different issue between vessel of wrath and vessel of mercy. Okay, so just understand this. Because the vessel of honor and the vessel of dishonor is an issue of election. God happened to choose Israel to be the vehicle where he will bring forth the redemptive plan. And he happened to choose Egypt. I use the word happens because I also don't fully understand. Because he's God, I'm not. So that's what Paul is saying. It's a mystery of election. Don't question him. Then come now. Now he's addressing the issue of personal responsibility. That's where we have two terms, isn't it? Vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. That's where you need to understand how the Jewish culture, how they make pottery, right? It's called pottery, right? Or yeah, see, if I cannot, I can teach, you can. Okay. What happened is this. When you make pottery or you make some vessel, you need to have a lump of clay, isn't it? You got to put on this, you know, this, I don't know what, turntable. No, turntable is for music. turn table. You will turn, then this guy will sit there, the potter will sit there to take the, not mud, the clay. You will make and shape into a vessel. Okay. Along the way, they shape it, and along the way, it will break. It will break. What happens is, if it breaks, the potter, what will do is that they will bring this, I want to keep saying mud. No, it's not mud. Clay. Keep doing. If it be eventually, don't know how many times, eventually it succeeds. After the potter, many chance again and again and again and again, finally it succeeds. It's called what? Vessel of mercy. So you need to understand the context, I explain to you. But if they keep doing, finally cannot, after 1,000 times, I don't know how many times, they will throw it away. It's called vessel of wrath. Now you need to understand this. Then I go through the verse and explain. Now let's come to Pharaoh. Remember we said, unfair, isn't it? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Go back to Exodus. I have no time to run through the scripture with you now. If you go back to Exodus, 15 times the book of Exodus talk about Pharaoh's heart hardened, right? 5 times, first 5 times, Pharaoh hardened his heart first. Personal responsibility. See, do you know that there's this thing called lie or no return? If you study 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God actually said, if you keep resisting me, eventually I will help you. That's what is happening. No, I will turn to the verse for you later if I have time. No, I have to turn to it. Or if not, you call me a cow. Yeah. This is what's happening to Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. He resists God. He crossed the line of no return. God said, now I help you. I harden your heart. Let me finish this verse first. Then I go to 2 Thessalonians. Okay. Verse 21. No, let's go to verse 22. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power, you see, God only show his wrath and make his power known, it come to a point that you have crossed the line of no return. That's why I always tell believer, don't keep sinning, and say it's okay. Yes, there's grace, but you have to repent and keep repenting and ask God for grace so they overcome. There will come a time you cross the line of no return. Then God will show his wrath. It's biblical. I'll show you that verse, okay? If I forget, please remind me. 2 Thessalonians 2. What if God wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known? Hear this. The vessel of wrath is not determined by God. God give chance, call mercy. That's why this verse says, endure with much suffering. The vessel of wrath is like a potter. Keep making the thing, keep breaking. God said, come on, come together. So he endured with much suffering. The vessel of wrath prepare for destruction. Do you know what this verse actually means? If you study carefully, it means that the vessel of wrath actually prepare for themselves destruction. They are responsible. That's why God go on and say, and that he might make known the riches of glory on the vessel of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Say, that's why salvation is for Gentile and for the Jew and for whoever. Actually, it's first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. As long as you will repent. If you keep resisting, eventually I'll cut you off. I can't raise you up as a testimony of my glory as a vessel of mercy. I will use you as a vessel of wrath. I will make known, because every one of us is created for the glory of God. So you can choose. No, vessel of honor and dishonor is not chosen by you because it's a calling. But vessel of wrath and vessel of mercy is determined by you. If you don't turn, God say, no choice. I want to use you as a vessel of mercy because you keep turning away, but I endure a much long suffering. There come a time I'm going to raise you up as a vessel of wrath. Wow. That's why Israel will turn back, because eventually Israel will turn. That's a mystery of Israel. We got to pray for Israel. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Clear? Now Romans 9 is not that hard to understand, isn't it? The rest of the chapter basically Paul is explaining, as a result of Israel's rejection, the gospel now has come to the Gentiles. Okay? Go with me to 2 Thessalonians so that you won't throw a chair at me next week. 2 Thessalonians. That's why we need to understand. Yes, mystery of election, vessel of honor, vessel of dishonor is decided by God. You can't determine. But you determine. There's a personal responsibility whether you turn out to be a vessel of wrath and the vessel of mercy. Right now, Israel, that's Paul, that's why Paul basically is saying, right now, Israel is where she is because of herself. But God will endure with much suffering. He will keep giving her a chance again and again, and is calling the Gentile church to pray for her. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Then we're going to end with this. Oh, good, 5 minutes. So sorry, no small group next week. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter... No, turn with me. You got to see this yourself. I'm reading from New King James Version. If you cannot accept it, please go and talk to God. I didn't write this. Okay. Verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one, is called by Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Talking about those who are being deceived because they don't love the truth. They don't stand on the truth. They keep rejecting the truth. This is not about understanding the Bible. This is about obeying the word of God, making a stand for the word of God. Listen to verse 11. There will come a time God will help. Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Wow. Who sent the delusion? Who? No, say it. Good. No, I'm not tricking you. It's in the scripture. Who sent the delusion? God. It's not because right at the front end, God only sent the delusion. No, God endured with much long suffering. See, in Christian theology, really, there is this thing called there's a line of no return. Don't keep resisting God. Don't keep playing with fire called sin. There will come a time if you don't turn. God say, I'm going to help you now. Pharaoh, he said, I'll harden your heart. Five times Pharaoh hardened his heart first. And after that, God said, I help you right now. Because he didn't want to accept my grace and mercy to be the vessel of mercy. Now, I use you as a vessel of wrath. Same here. You keep buying into unrighteousness. God is calling you and he will shout at you and so on. He said, no, I'm not going to turn. He said, now I'm going to help you. I will send you. The word is strong delusion. See, my hair is all standing right now. That we got to teach and tell believer. People say, just sin all you want, please. There is a line of no return. You know what this means? It means you can lose your salvation. You will deny the Lord. You read a few verses ahead, talking about the great falling away. So this Romans chapter 9, it's not just about Israel. You need to understand about why Israel fell away. It's an issue of national election, sovereign grace, mercy, as well as personal responsibility. Amen? Let me just close in a word of prayer. Okay. Yeah, no time to read Romans 10. You can read, it's quite straightforward. I hope you clear enough, not clear my mat. Okay, you clear my mat, then just go and pray. Okay, let me just pray. We see you next week. Next week, I will talk about understanding Israel so that you can make sense of the crisis in the Middle East right now, as well as God's fundamental call for Israel, as well as the litmus test. I'm going to run through Matthew chapter 25. Do you know standing for Israel and not standing for Israel is an issue of salvation? That's Matthew chapter 25. Litmus test. So don't call me out first. Come back next week, then here. Okay. Oh, no. Are you tricking me to come back? No. We need to know. Then that's why you understand why I say replacement theory is from the pit of hell. Satan is tricking the church. It's a big trap. It's more than just we are not praying for her. We are going to stand against her. Then we will be in deep trouble. Okay.